Welcome to Confessions of a Closet Romantic, a sweet and sexy break in your day where I curate the best romantic TV shows, rom-coms, movies, and books on a different theme each episode for your romantic pleasure. This is Poppy, and in this episode, we visit a convent that's anything but cloistered in the sexy 14th century rom-com, The Little Hours. Okay, there are two things that you need to know about me if you've never listened to this podcast before. I'm a former Catholic schoolgirl, now lapsed Catholic, and I have a weird fascination with medieval history. I think it's the thick brocade, square-necked gowns and the falconry, not the rivulets of sewage, lack of showers, and the bloody meat of the era. Some of the first romance novels I ever read, my true romance gateway, was the Elizabeth Lowell medieval trilogy series. Needless to say, she didn't discuss hygiene. There were plenty of manly men in leather who could handle a bird of prey and handle you in the bedroom, and the hottest, hottest sexy times in drafty castles. Recently, I was looking around to see what new rom-coms were out, and I started to watch the movie Spin Me Round with Alison Brie because it had a parody of an illustrated romance clinch cover featuring Alison as its promotional poster. That is awesome. But the tone of the movie was bizarre to me. I read reviews of it. I didn't know the director, and I discovered that he also directed another kind of bizarre but intriguing movie called The Little Hours. The Little Hours, you say? Eliminated manuscripts and monks? Chanting? Meals of porridge at refractory tables in beautiful Gothic dining halls? Oh! All I knew was this movie was set in medieval times and it was funny. It's loosely based on the Decameron, a 14th century collection of witty and erotic short stories by the Italian writer Giovanni Boccaccio. This bawdy book influenced many classic works of literature, including the Canterbury Tales. It's basically a collection of short stories told by 10 young women and men who escaped Florence and its pandemic of Black Death by spending a couple of weeks in a deserted villa in the countryside. They tell stories at night to pass the time. I haven't read this book. I would love to, but Wikipedia says the stories include stories about love that ends tragically, ones that end happily, stories about women tricking men tricking women, tricks that people play on each other. The stories were told over days and sometimes reverse back on themselves and feature recurring plot points, like mocking the lust and greed of the clergy, female lust and ambition being equal to male lust and ambition, tensions in Italian society between new wealth and nobility, and adventures of traveling merchants. Boccaccio borrowed many of the plots, and so did people after him. Shakespeare, All's Well That Ends Well, Molière, Alfred Lord Tennyson, and even the 2017 rom-com Virgin Territory, and now, of course, The Little Hours. This book was burned in 15th century Florence as sinful, along with some cosmetics, random art, other books, in a charming event later known as the Bonfire of the Vanities. Okay, that alone ensures a cover by me of this movie. Earthy, raunchy, funny, often dramatic and tragic. Sensational source material.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 3 days since my last confession.
And what is it you would like to confess?
Yesterday I walked by the garden and I picked a turnip and I ate the whole thing and I didn't share it with my sisters.
And you regret this?
Yes, Father.
Because it was greedy, wasn't it?
It was, Father.
Anything else?
Yes, Father. I've been having impure thoughts.
And have you acted on these thoughts?
No, Father.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 2 days since my last confession.
And what do you wish to confess?
The other day, I found a turnip in the garden, and I ate it all by myself, and I didn't share it with my sisters, and it was so delicious.
Sister, Ginevra just told me this same story. Did you overhear her confession?
No.
Fine. Do you have anything else to confess?
No, I have nothing else to confess.
Well, you mislaud, sister. That's something.
Well, that's because the donkey escaped in the woods and I saved her. You should be thanking me, Father.
Look, I'm just gonna... I don't know what to do here. If you don't confess, God can't forgive you.
I have nothing to confess.
All right, well, just go and think about what you've done. Let's try it again next week.
Yes, Father.
I read that director-writer Jeff Baena, who also wrote I Heart Huckabees and Life After Beth, created a detailed outline for the film, but all of the dialogue was improvised by the cast. Improvised! Of course, in modern vernacular. What a great contrast. I don't think it could have been done without them. There's John C. Reilly as the local priest, Molly Shannon as Mother Superior of the convent, nuns played by Alison Brie, Kate Micucci and Aubrey Plaza, Fred Armisen as a bishop, Nick Offerman as a local self-important lord, and a cameo by Paul Reiser. Aubrey Plaza is married to the director and she also produced this movie. And her usual eye-rolling game, ugh, it's in peak form here. So we start with the medieval and Renaissance Book of Hours, illuminated manuscripts for lay people with prayers to be read at set hours of the day and night to focus their devotions. The little hours and nights in this movie are just slightly different. Some women are hiding out at the convent for very privileged reasons, and others just seem to be, shall we say, reluctant brides of God.
How are you, my angel?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you look beautiful.
Thank you.
What I can make out. Yeah, you look terrific. Are they feeding you? They should be feeding you for all the money we send them here. But you look beautiful.
Thank you. How's Mom?
Mom is good. Everybody's well.
Good. The Merchant Ricardo? How's he?
Merchant Ricardo. Yes, glad you brought it up. He's good.
Has he asked about me?
Sure. You bet he has. You know, last time you and I spoke, I was hoping that we'd have the whole dowry situation locked up, and we're not there just yet. They're asking for a lot of money, and, you know, with the money we're sending here and then to your sisters and their children, there's a lot of money going out, not that much coming in, so...
But maybe if we sent less money here to the convent, we could save it up, and I could even come and live with you and Mom, and...
I don't think sending less money here is a good idea, because that would reflect badly on the family. But I know how eager you are to be married, my baby, I know, but maybe that's not your calling. How's your embroidery going? You still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Good, because you're so good. And maybe that's your calling, you know? Some people, it's marriage and family and the warmth of a home, and maybe for you, it's the detailed embroidery. You know, please keep your chin up. Give me a little sugar. Hey, sweetie. All right, Daddy loves you.
I love you.
Okay. All right, you take care, and you don't you lose hope.
Oh dear, sweet princess, she's gonna have a hard time here. The convent's new deaf mute, or so they think, male servant Masato is on the run after bedding the wife of a local lord. Things are very randy in the countryside.
Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It has been years, many years since my last confession. Here are my sins. I have slept with another man's wife. He's a nobleman, and he is my master.
Well, that's adultery.
I know.
It's a very serious sin.
Sometimes she would place her mouth around my sex.
Yeah, well, that's sodomy. That's also a serious sin.
Is it also considered sodomy if I place my mouth on her sex while she simultaneously had her mouth around mine?
Why would you do that?
Because she liked it.
Well, yes, that's also sodomy.
I thought sodomy was just when I would when someone would penetrate the rear end.
Yes, that's also sodomy. That's the traditional form of sodomy.
Right.
Did you do that?
I did. Yes, that also occurred.
But you didn't spill your seed in the rear end.
No, I did not.
Good, good.
I would spill my seed on her back, or on her bosom, but most of the time she would request that I spill my seed all over her face.
Well, these are serious sins, and do you regret doing these things?
I've learned my lesson. I really have, and I don't want to be that person anymore. If I go back out on the road, they will catch me and they will kill me.
Well, I'll give you your penance. I want you to say 10 Hail Marys.
Yeah.
And 15 Our Fathers.
Yes.
Now, as to the other situation about you being pursued, I think I may have a solution that could be a blessing to both of us.
Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you.
Oh, whoa. Fortunately, Father Tommaso, the local priest, finds him a job hiding at the convent as a deaf-mute servant. But it's classic frying pan meet the fire, because this is how those sweet servants of God treated the last helper around the place.
Yes, it was good. Any potential suitors?
That's not even what his visit was about. Didn't even talk about that.
Then what was his visit about?
Oh my God. Hey, I told you not to fucking look at us, you creep.
I'm sorry.
Why are you making eye contact with us? Look at the ground, you fucking pervert.
I'm sorry.
What is this shit?
This is a turnip.
That's not a turnip, it's shit. You expect us to eat shit? You're a piece of shit.
Yeah, you are a piece of shit. You're disgusting.
Yeah, you are a disgusting piece of shit. Think we can just eat any of this food? We're fucking starving. You can't do anything right. Look at this wall. Look at the stuff you built. It's horrible. You fucking imbecile. What do you even do here? Think you can talk to us?
Please.
You think you can look at us? You know who my father is?
Yeah.
He deserves you good money to do nothing.
You know what, though? They're not going to get Masato. Uh-uh. Nope. He just rolls with the punches. Because he's clever, handy, and, oh, by the way, sizzling hot with a libido the size of Sicily.
Oh. First day.
First day. Thank you.
You survived.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
Yeah, no, all the work itself, it went really smoothly, and I did a lot of great work in the cloister, and that was good, and I met a few of the sisters, and they were you know, very interesting and just grateful to be here. So
these girls can be tough. I'm not gonna lie, they can be very tough.
Really?
And violent.
Violence. I find that so hard to believe. They were so lovely.
They physically have attacked people. So if anything happens, just tell me.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I can fix it, but you have to tell me.
I mean, this deaf-mute thing is there to protect you.
Exactly.
And to keep the sisters away from you, because they can have a pack mentality. Ultimately, this is going to be a very positive influence. Living ethically every day, serving God, it's really going to fortify your soul.
Yeah, you're right. I think I can learn a lot by watching the sisters and everyone around who seem very ethical and, yeah.
Cheers.
Actually, I was gonna ask you, is it all right that we keep drinking the sacramental wine?
Well, I blessed it, so.
You blessed it, so it's.
Don't mention it to anyone else, but.
How could I? I'm deaf and mute, remember?
Now that is a master class. However, the gray, very gray area of ethical completely abandons the premises once the nuns are stirred up by a sexy local witch who disturbs the monotony and shares her sensual experiences with belladonna, tinctures, and teas.
Marta.
I'm Marta.
You have an accent. Where are you from? The South?
Oh,
are you from Umbria?
No. What is she talking about? I sound just
she's
like
from
you.
She's from here. You're not from Garfagnana.
Yes, she is.
You do not sound like you're from Garfagnana.
Why don't you
are
just
you drinking the sacramental wine?
Yes.
No.
Father Tommaso drinks it all the time.
I'm going to tell Mother Maria.
Why are you always telling her?
Why are you choking me?
Yeah, shut up. Just drink a little bit of it. Sister Alessandra wants you to drink.
Ginevra, it's fine. Nothing matters in life. We're all gonna die. Terrible things are happening all
you're
the
not
time.
Allowed to have
so just
here.
Enjoy this
you're not
moment.
Allowed. We're all
and
gonna
just
die.
Just drink a little wine.
Well, we're not gonna get
do
in
it.
Trouble.
Do it.
Woo! Oh, guys, it's bad. That's bad.
I think there was sand in it.
Never been touched by a man or touched a man?
No.
Never?
No, never.
I feel sad for you. Do you ever wonder what it's like?
Why? Is it really so great?
It's the greatest pleasure on earth.
Really?
Oh my God. You have no idea. In fact, it's so good that I've heard of women who make this potion out of this plant, belladonna, just to seduce men.
We can't do it, because we would get locked up.
Mm. Yeah, it's a mortal sin. We wouldn't get into heaven.
Right.
It's a mortal sin.
Yeah, then you probably shouldn't do it. Probably shouldn't do it.
It doesn't really matter anyway, because we're never going to know that. Nothing matters.
So the sisters themselves about this here belladonna, and as each sister ingests this herb, they start seeing Masato with new eyes. His penis falls into their vaginas. They start losing their collective minds in a horny frenzy, just in time for the local bishop's visit and for all to witness Father Tommaso coming from Mother Superior's bedroom.
What are you doing? It's the middle of the night!
There are witches! There are witches! You need to know about the witches! They're out there in the woods! They're out there in the woods!
Put
and
your
the man
clothes
is a witch,
on.
And her friend is a She's a witch! She is a witch!
I am not a witch.
Stop!
You're just jealous.
No, I am not.
Why are you wearing your winter habit?
I saw him first.
Why is the handyman here?
What do you mean you saw him first? You don't even like men. You're sexually attracted to women.
I am sexually attracted to men!
What?
I had sex with him.
You are a bride of Christ.
You did not have sex with him. You were writhing around on it.
You had sex with him too.
Stop.
How dare you? This is why I did not have sex.
I'm telling the truth.
I know what you're doing with the donkey, and she's my donkey now. Don't talk about my donkey now. I'm on donkey duty.
What is wrong with her?
She is on drugs. She told me she took belladonna tonight, and she's been dancing around naked in the woods with witches, and she's a Jew.
Sister Maria! Stop talking. Yes? Stop. Sister Maria!
I'm not a Jew.
Wake up!
I'm not a Jew.
Come on, look at this.
I was sleeping.
Complete chaos.
I'm sorry.
Everyone's awake. It's the middle of the night.
There's a donkey downstairs.
Why do you have pants on your head?
Okay, please stop. I can explain everything, all right? It's all my fault.
I thought you couldn't speak.
He can speak.
Yeah, he can talk.
I thought you were a deaf mute.
It's a miracle.
Oh my God, the delicious tone of this movie. It pokes big fun at the silliest religious, gender, sexual, and social norms of history, which seem very much like those today. It giggles at the hothouse of privilege and seclusion that life at a convent or monastery would have provided. The escape and safety, but the tyranny of organized religion and the misguided attempts to repress sexuality. This movie would be nothing without this cast and their ability to change that tone from scared, vulnerable, to morally superior or wildly inappropriate on the turn of a dime. The story ends on a triumphant, gentle scene full of reconnection, honest feelings, and love. Proof that we can never be truly happy or fulfilled as human beings while our truest natures and desires are suppressed. And that is a message for the ages. If you enjoy this podcast, I hope you'll share this episode and tell a friend about it. For more information and show notes, visit confessionsofaclosetromantic.com. So, all of my listeners in Catholic countries around the world, God knows we were just having a little bit of fun here, right?